bring your Bible and you mark up your Bible, because you really don't want to mark up the Bibles that are in front of you. They're for people that maybe are new or haven't brought their Bible. Bring your Bible. This is your sword, right? Know it. Mark it up. It's okay. I give you freedom to do that, right? Because really, ultimately, all this is are words in a book. It's your book, right? And you get to mark it up and make it living, right? God breathed on it, right? It's living and these words are God's words, living and active for you. So we're going to pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide spirit and soul. And so this morning, Lord, we come to you and expect you to speak through your word into our lives. You know us personally. You know what each one of us need. And so, Lord, would your word meet the need for us today? We thank you already. You've spoken freedom. And so, Lord, we receive freedom from fear. We receive freedom from bondage. We receive freedom from depression. We receive freedom from suicidal tendencies. We receive freedom from addiction. So we thank you for that, Lord. Your word has freedom. And so this morning, free us up in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said,
amen. Amen.
All right, I keep testing to see if that's going to work. And that's all right. So we're looking at Mark 1, 29 through 39. Verse 29. As soon as they had come out of the synagogue, now remember, Jesus had gone into the synagogue previous to this and cast out an evil spirit from a man that was bound, right? And he did that with the authority that God had given him. And we all have that authority. Remember, Jesus came as a man, right? Filled with the Holy Spirit, like you and I. He's the prototype for us. So now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's, which is Peter, wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him, who's him?
Jesus.
They told Jesus about her at once. So he, Jesus, came in, took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. Now, the one thing that bothers me about this situation, or at least the reading of this, is that no words were spoken. I believe that Jesus spoke. He didn't just, like, there are some Jesus films where all of a sudden Jesus just looks at someone and they go, I'm healed, right? It's not that Jesus had the healing eye. Come on. Words. So how do I know that? Well, I believe that God doesn't leave us without a witness. So let's go to Luke 4. And this same instance that is spoken of here, Luke 4, 38 and 39. Listen to this. Now, Jesus rose from the synagogue, entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and what? Rebuked the fever. He spoke, right? He spoke. I believe that everything that happens, everything that creative, that healing, that takes place is because there's a spoken word. Jesus created, I believe it was Jesus, but in the beginning, it says, in the beginning, God, right, spoke. But then we also see in John 1:1, and we've talked about this, in the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in verse 14 of John 1, it says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So that word was Jesus. Okay? As long as we know that. But I believe that the spoken, for us, the spoken word Get this word in your heart, and when the enemy attacks, matter of fact, previous to this, Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, and he was fasting, right? And what happened at the end of that time, Satan came and attacked him, and Jesus responded to every attack with the word. Not his word, God's word. Come on. God's word. When we speak this word over our situations, something takes place in the heavenlies. And when we speak this word with authority, I believe that demons tremble. Like, oh my gosh, they know the word. Let's try to get them really ticked off. Let's try and really bum them out, right? And we keep speaking the word, and pretty soon, like with Jesus, it says that Satan left for an opportune time. In other words, after that 40 days and Jesus was responding with God's word, finally Satan left. But it says, until an opportune time. What does that say about you and I? Until an opportune time, right? So don't think, I've won, that's it, man, I'm one and done. Yes, all right, take that, Satan. And then we get lazy, right? We get complacent until an opportune time. Come on. Yeah, that's why we need to stay. Do you know, by the way, that there was never an opportune time for Satan to win the battle with Jesus? We're going to find out today why that was. Okay, so I believe that Jesus spoke this word over Peter's mother-in-law, and she was healed of the fever. Verse 32 of chapter 1 of Mark, we're back there. Now at evening, when the sun had set, right, he prayed over Peter's mother-in-law. She was healed. She served them. Now it's evening time. Now at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him, how many? How many? Okay, I just wanted to be sure that it wasn't some, that it wasn't just a couple, but it was all, right? Come on. It was all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. I wonder what they did. Once they saw Peter's mother-in-law being healed of the fever, I wonder, okay, we're going to go out and we're going to get people that are sick, that are oppressed, that are demon-possessed, and we're bringing them, right? We're going to bring them because Jesus has got something going on here and we need to get our people healed, right? Come on, I believe that's what he did, or what the disciples did. Now, at evening, when the sun had set, they, and maybe anyone else who was there when Peter's mother-in-law were healed, oh my gosh, we need to get people here, right? They brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. That's a big door, right? I mean, what, was everyone like, okay, here we are, right? Maybe it was, I've been to concerts before back BC. Just thought I'd mention that. where there were so many people that the people outside that couldn't get in, right? They were out in the outskirts, and they were listening to what was going on inside. Of course, it was much louder. They had kind of stuff like this to project. But here it says that the whole city came, and they were at the door. So they were right outside, right? And maybe, I don't know what that would have looked like, but everyone was there. Then he, verse 34, Jesus, healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak. Why? Because they knew him. They knew him. They knew what was inside of him. Holy Spirit, power. Think about it. You and I have Holy Spirit inside. Are we not going to happen? Okay. Well, we'll get Daniel to show us. So you and I have Holy Spirit in us, right? Come on. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit resides in you. And there's a baptism, an overflow of the Holy Spirit that we see on the day of Pentecost and then throughout the book of Acts. We see this overflow of the Holy Spirit that is available for each one of us. Remember what Jesus said? And we talk about this, but I love just throwing these little nuggets out. Acts 1:8, wait until you have received power. And that word we talked about last week, dunamis, dynamite power, right? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, all those people were saved, right? They were all born again. But Jesus still said, wait. Acts 1:8, read it. Wait until you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. We need Holy Spirit power. Come on, church. Come on. I do. So this is taking place. The demons knew who Jesus was, and they were trying to speak out, and he wouldn't allow it. Wouldn't allow it at all. Matter of fact, I love this, in Matthew 8, let's check this out. Matthew 8, 16 and 17 is the same situation. When evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. Now, this is important because we didn't see this in Mark. For some reason, Mark isn't talking about the words that are spoken, but in these other Gospels, we see that. Many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with what?
A word.
Right? He spoke. He spoke and healed how many? All who were sick. All, not just a couple, all, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. As a matter of fact, in my Bible, I just put a little side note. That's Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. So Matthew, I love Matthew. He loves going back to the Old Testament to show where Jesus fulfilled these or whatever's taking place is being fulfilled. And here he uses Isaiah 53, 4, and 5 as a fulfillment of what he's seeing Jesus doing right here. Prayer. Now, for you and I, when we talk about prayer, are we talking about changing God's plan for us or us changing our plan towards God? I've given this example before. Think of somebody in a boat, and they throw an anchor out to the shore. Again, they want to get to the shore, and they pull, right, towards the shore. Are they pulling the shore towards them or them towards the shore? Yeah. You're not going to pull the shore towards you. When we pray, we're throwing out an anchor. And what's happening is, as we pray, we're pulling ourselves towards God. Come on. We're pulling ourselves towards God. We want his will for our life. Sometimes our prayer is more, God, my will, not yours. Matter of fact, it's a good time for us now to go to a portion of Scripture where Jesus did just what we said. He threw the anchor out and he pulled himself towards God's will. Okay? Luke 22. Let's go there. Luke 22, 39 and 46, or through 46. And coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives. Now, listen to this. As he was accustomed. And him, his disciples, they followed him. He was accustomed to going to the Mount of Olives. We'll find out what that was. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Church, right there, that should be something that all of us grab hold to. Pray that we are not drawn into temptation. Pray that we are not drawn into temptation. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of things in this world that have a tendency to want to tempt me. Temptation. Pray that you're not drawn in, right? Pray that you don't enter into that temptation. Verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed. Now listen to his prayer. Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, do it because I'm asking you. Come on, that's not what it says. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Right? Come on. He tells the disciples, pray that you don't enter into temptation. Now, by the way, where does temptation start? Come on, if you've been here at any amount of time, you know. Our mind, right? Our mind. Temptation always starts right here in your thought life. Right? You're not going to be tempted to do something you haven't thought about. Right? Make sense? Come on. So he's telling them, pray that you don't enter into temptation. Pray that the thoughts that are going on in your head, that the enemy's trying to tempt you with, don't draw you away from what you need to be doing. And then he says to the Father, his prayer now is a perfect example of this prayer. He says to the Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. He knows what's coming. He knows the pain and the torment that he's going to go through. Dad, if there's another way, do it. But not my will. In other words, not the things going on in my head, not that, what you want. Draw me to you instead of, right, you come to me. Come on, Papa, right here. This is what I want. If it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Draw me to you. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven. Now listen to this. Strengthening him. Now, why do you think an angel comes down to strengthen Jesus? Come on, why do you think? Give me an answer, somebody. Why do you think? Father? Is a man, he needed strength. Knew what was coming. Right? He needed, once that the thing was settled, man, Jesus knows, okay. It's Daddy's will. I know what's up. And the angel came and strengthened him. Do you know that when you and I pray and we submit to the Father's will, and if it's something that, by the way, typically when we submit to the Father's will, it's something that you and I can't do in our own strength. Just saying. Come on. And when we do that, when we submit to Father's will, he'll send strength. Amen. To go through it, whatever it is. Here's a perfect example. I like the fact that Jesus is our prototype, and what God will do for one, he'll do for another. Amen? He's not a respecter of person. Okay? And being in agony, oh, by the way, when God comes alongside and brings strength, it doesn't mean you're not going to go through difficulty to fulfill what God's called you to do, right? And Jesus, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. I wonder what he was praying more earnestly about, right? Because at that point, I believe he knew. When the angel came to strengthen him, the angel didn't come to strengthen him to say, hey, you're going to get out of this one, right? I believe he knew. And that's why all of a sudden it says that he prayed more earnestly. It's like, okay, now I know. And man, I'm pressing in, God. Here I am. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Medically, he was so stressed that he was busting his blood vessels. And they were seeping through his skin. Now, that's stress. Okay? That's some serious stress. I've yet to stress like that. And I don't look forward to it. When he rose up from prayer, when he rose up from what?
Prayer.
When he rose up from prayer. And prayer is talking to Daddy, talking to God, okay? And all of us have different ways of talking to God, okay? We all have different ways of talking to God, but talk to him. Talk to him. Here's a story. If Abu, and it's not Abu from Disney, wanted to be a Christian, he'd have to do it somewhere else. We surrounded his house, ready to force him and burn it. As we got closer, we could hear him talking. Had he gathered others to help him? We wondered. Then we could hear that he was praying for the entire village, asking Jesus to forgive us for what we were about to do. This made us even angrier, so 25 of us rushed toward his house to apprehend him. But there was an invisible force that would not let any of us enter his house, and we were frightened away. When I got home, I could not sleep. I kept thinking about Abu's prayer. Finally, at 3 a.m, I went back to his house. I asked him to tell me about Jesus. After 3 hours of talking with him, I asked Jesus to forgive me. I surrendered my life to him. I rushed to my house, shared what happened to my wife, and she became a Christian along with our children. Within days, this person's name was Idris, and he was from Bangladeshi. Other believers were told this story, and they faced many tests. This Idris was fired from his job. His children were forced out of school, yet he says that he still has joy, for he has Jesus in his heart. So one man praying, an angry mob coming to burn down the house and drag him out, couldn't. Why? Angels came, right, to strengthen him, protect him. Now, that's not always the story, okay? That's okay. But in this instance, it was. For you and I, church, we need to be a people that stand in faith and pray. If you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll read about Polycarp, who was a mighty man of God, and after 85 years was taken to court, wouldn't denounce Christ, and ended up, matter of fact, praying. He asked if he could pray before he went to be burned, and the two soldiers at either side, his prayer caused them to surrender to Jesus. Then he goes, and he's tied to a stake, and all the religious leaders say, okay, let's burn him. They threw fire, and the fire went around him. Couldn't burn him. And he's praying for the people. So finally, the religious leaders were so mad that they told someone to jab him with a spear. And he finally died. But can you believe all the people around him watching what was going on? Powerful. Powerful. Prayer. Verse 35 of chapter 1 of Mark. We're still in Mark, but we're kind of taking these different detours. Now, in the morning, having risen long before daylight, he went out and departed to a what?
Solitary,
solitary or a deserted place or a place by himself. And there he prayed. Jesus was a man of prayer. He prayed. He did what the Father said to do. We saw that most recently when we just talked about what happened towards the end of his ministry. He prayed, and he knew God said, "You're going all the way, son. Aren't you glad that there's only one Jesus?
Yes.
Come on, come on. His death, burial, and resurrection sets us free." Okay? Your death won't do that, right? But there are many Christians whose death set free people in their community, in their village, to see Jesus in them. And they said, "Because I saw that faith, I want Jesus." Okay? So he went out to a deserted place, and he prayed. By the way, this wasn't the only time Jesus did that. I want to look at a couple of those verses in Luke, back to Luke 5:16. Listen to this. Luke 5:16. "So Jesus himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed." Often. Wasn't just one time thing. I believe, and we see in the scriptures where Jesus said, "I do what I see the Father do. I say what I hear the Father say." All that was in response to prayer. You and I can see and hear the Father lead us. In the same way, church. Come on. Amen?
Amen?
Yeah. He himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Same book, Luke 6:12. "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain," Mount of Olives, "to pray and continued for a few minutes."
All night.
All night in prayer to God. There will be times where you will need to pray longer. Don't stop until you hear, until you know what God is saying. Right? And that's important, church. That's important. Matter of fact, if we go back to Mark. Now think about it. Jesus just had incredible ministry taking place where he prayed for many people. They all got healed. Wouldn't that be a great time to set up a healing ministry right there in that town? And Jesus wouldn't have to go anywhere, right? People could come to him. Wouldn't that be great? Yes, no, maybe so. He prayed. Jesus spent time in prayer, and then this was his response in verse 36. "And Simon and those who were with him searched for him." Okay? Come on, Jesus. There's more people that want to get healed. Come on, Jesus. We're bringing them to you. Come on, Jesus. Come back to that same place, right? "But he said to them, 'Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. Because for this purpose, I have come.'" For this purpose. Jesus knew what his purpose was. Why? Because he prayed. Right? After that miraculous healing service happened, it says that in the morning, having risen long before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. There he talked to God. There he heard what the Father had to say. And when he came back and he heard all the wonderful news about more people coming and about staying here, he said, "Wait, I know what the Father has. I know the purpose for which I've come. I need to go. We're not going to start a healing ministry here in this town. I need to go." Why? Because that's what the Father said. So what's Father saying to you? Stop. Pray. Listen. And by the way, his voice typically doesn't sound like yours. I've learned that over the years. I'm sure you have too. If you're married to an awesome spouse like me, God's voice sometimes sounds like my wife. There have been times that I've been praying, we're praying together, and she'll say something like, this is what I have a sense of God saying, and it'll be completely other than I want to hear. I know it's God, but I say, oh, right. But then I go and I pray, and I come back, right. And that's a good thing. If you're not married, have somebody in your life, a prayer partner, someone that knows you, right? I have an accountability partner, and the other day I shared with him something that I wanted to say in a situation that was really frustrating me. And I love Jim. Jim Scott's my accountability partner. And he said, don't do it. So what do you mean? Don't do it. And he was right. He was right. Have you ever got that to that place where you're just ready to tell somebody off or just, this is right. It's all true, right? What I'm going to say is true, but it's not needful at the time. You know what I'm talking about? Come on. I'm glad I have people, not only my wife, but an accountability partner that helps me when I get a little out of sorts, yeah, flesh. I don't know that we're ever old enough in the Lord not to allow the flesh to get involved, and that's why we need people around us that can help us. Amen? Amen. Come on. You can say you heard it here. Pastor needs it, so do you. Good, good. I'm glad we're on the same page on that. One last thing I want to look at. We heard that Jesus had made this decision to pray and ask the Father, not my will, but your will be done. I think what's important is right before that, in Luke 21:37, right before that, listen to this. And in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple. But at night, he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Now, what do we know about what Jesus did at the Mount called Olive? He prayed. So it said, so I love this. We don't have the specifics that, oh, he went and prayed. But we know that's what he did at the Mount. We know that's what he did. And in daytime, he was teaching in the temple. But at night, he went out, stayed on the mountain called Olivet. He prayed. Church, if you want to have power during the day, you've got to have prayer to keep you going, right? If you want to have power to speak to people around you, people that don't know Jesus, you got to pray. Because no matter how much schooling you have, no matter how much Bible you read, if you don't have time with God in prayer to hear what he's saying, we're going to fall short. Spend time in prayer. And you'll be mighty and powerful when you go out during the day, right? There'll be might and power, Holy Spirit-led power during the day. But don't try to deal with issues that are, man, that can be so overwhelming. The enemy is not a novice, okay? You need to know this. Sometimes I hear people pray, oh, you dumb, stupid Satan, you. Man, you're messing with the wrong guy or gal. He's anything but dumb and stupid. He's very smart. But in Jesus, we are smarter. In Jesus. Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. Satan's been around a lot longer than you and I. Come on. He knows. Haven't you seen him mess with you? Right? He knows the little barbs that he can get in there if you let him. So you've got to make a choice to be smarter. And the only way you're going to be smarter is to be fuller. Not F-O-O-L-E-R. F-U-L-L-E-R. Fuller of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Don't be a fool. Be full. Okay. You get something today? I hope so, because I did. I want to be a man of prayer. I want us to be a people of prayer, right? Take authority. We talked about that last week. Prayer. And next week, to be prayer-led. Next week, we're going to talk about be compassion-led, right? Because honesty without love, woo-wee, we get in trouble. All right. Let's pray. Oh, is our worship team, were you going to come up or? Yeah, come on up. Even if you just, a little background music, it's okay. I need that for me. I don't know about you guys. I feel like I've, a bunch of stuff is getting off me. Well, Lord, we recognize today that we need to be a people who pray. To talk to you. We want to listen to you. We want to be drawn to you. Change us into your image, Lord. We really don't want you to be in our image. We'd be in a world of hurt. So, Father, change us to your image today. Draw us to you as we pray and show us what it is you have for each one of us. Lord, you've uniquely created us, designed us, gifted us to be special. And so I pray that you'd reveal that to us as we pray. Give us wisdom for people around us as we pray. Give us wisdom at our workplace as we pray. Give us insight, patience, understanding as we pray. Lead and guide us, Lord, as we pray. If you're here today and this is all unique to you, there's a God in heaven that loves you and wants to draw you to himself and show you what it is to live a fulfilled life. If that's you today and you've not said yes to Jesus, this incredible, awesome Son of God, if that's you and you want to make that decision today, would you just raise your hand and say, yes, that's me. I need Jesus. I need him with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. I surrender to him. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, you started us out today wanting to let us know that we can be free. And so, Father, may we leave here knowing that we are free. Lord, that we are free from fear. We are free from depression. We are free from anxiety. We are free from suicidal tendencies. We are free from addiction in Jesus. We're free. You've done it on the cross. The work is already taken care of. We need to walk in that now. And so may we be a people that prayerfully walk with you. And Father, would we be a people free so that when we go out and minister to others, others will desire the same freedom that we have in Jesus. So we thank you for that. So we go forth now in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Let's stand up.